All right, Exodus chapter 5. Afterward, Moses and Aaron said to Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." But Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go." Then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with sword." But the king of Egypt said to them, "Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people away from their work? Get back to your burdens." And Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of Israel, the people of the land are now many, and you make them rest from their burdens?" The same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their foremen, "You shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks as in the past. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the number of bricks that they made in the past you shall impose on them. You shall by no means reduce it, for they are idle." Therefore they cry, "Let us go and offer sacrifice to our God. Let heavier work be laid on the men, that they may labor at it and pay no regard to lying words." So the taskmasters and the foremen of the people went out and said to the people, "Thus says Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go and get your straw yourselves, wherever you can find it. But your work will not be reduced in the least." So the people were scattered throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble for straw. The taskmasters were urgent, saying, "Complete your work, your daily task each day. And when there was straw, as when there was straw." And the foremen of the people of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and were asked, "Why have you not done all that your task of making bricks today and yesterday as in the past?" And the foremen of the people of Israel came and cried to Pharaoh, "Why do you treat your servants like this? No straw is given to your servants. Yet they say to us, 'Make bricks.' And behold, your servants are beaten, but the fault is in your own people." But he said, "You are idle. You are idle. That is why you say, 'Let us go and sacrifice to the Lord.' Go now and work. No straw will be given you, but you must still deliver the same number of bricks." The foremen of the people of Israel saw that they were in trouble when they said, "You shall by no means reduce your number of bricks, your daily task each day." They met Moses and Aaron, who were waiting for them, as they came out from Pharaoh. And they said to them, "The Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us stink in the sight of Pharaoh and his servants, and have put a sword in their hand to kill us." Then Moses turned to the Lord and said, "O Lord, why have you done evil to this people? Why did you ever send me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all." But the Lord said to Moses, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will send them out, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land." God spoke to Moses and said to him, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they lived as sojourners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the people of Israel, whom the Egyptians hold as slaves, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord." Moses spoke thus to the people of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses because of their broken spirit and harsh slavery. Now, I know that was a very intense, long reading. But I think what this story holds is a very important message and idea for all of us to follow. Today we're talking about broken spirits and harsh slavery. We're going to first look at how all of this applied to Israel, and then we're going to look at how it applies to us. And then we're going to remember that the story did not end there. Israel's broken spirit and harsh slavery. Who are Israel's taskmasters? We have Egypt's king, taskmasters, and the foremen of the people. I ask you, were these people nice to the Israelites? Will they have been nice to the Hebrews? Of course not. You know, hey, just go over here. Don't worry, we'll get the straw for you. Just gather these things. No. These people are over them. They're bringing them down. They are not seeking their good in any way. And so you have these taskmasters. You have the Pharaoh commanding these taskmasters to be over the people, to discourage them. But why was it easy for the people to be discouraged? First and foremost, well, they had not been delivered yet. I want you to imagine for a bit their circumstances. You imagine being a people, first come into Egypt, right, with all of your family. You're all happy. Everything is good. Everything is going great. Then later on, a Pharaoh rises up who does not know the person who helped bring you there. And out of fear, though they don't know this yet, but out of fear, they put them into slavery. They start treating them harshly. And the neighbors are having no regard for them at all. You imagine this circumstance. Anybody in this situation at this point would be very discouraged from what's going on in their lives. And so they had not been delivered yet. Most of them would have grown up on the words of their forefathers. You remember what Joseph said in Genesis chapter 50. I'll go ahead and I'll read this. Starting in verse 24. And Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die, but God will visit you and bring you up out of this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. So you imagine growing up with these words, right? Hearing that God is one day, he's going to save us. He's going to bring us out. But it's over this 100-year period and more that they are under slavery, that they are being discouraged right now. This is a very tough time for them. And not only that, but even Moses was discouraged. Going back to Exodus chapter 5, and in verse 22, then Moses turned to the Lord and said, O Lord, why have you done evil to this people? Why did you ever send me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all. So even Moses, the leader, the one who's supposed to be bringing them out, he's discouraged because of their circumstances. He's saying, it has gotten so bad that I don't even think this can be done. This has gotten so bad that, Lord, we are waiting for you. Where are you? Save these people. Help us out. It's another reason why the people would have been very discouraged. Not only that, they would have been discouraged due to those around them. You think about these people once again within this situation. Many people would have been conditioned to think, you know what, everything is just set against us. Nothing is going to work. Nothing good is ever going to happen. Why are we to believe that anything good is going to happen to us? So you can just imagine how other people, their peers with them, are just saying, you know what, don't even listen to this man, Moses. Okay. What he's saying is lying. Okay. His words are not true at all. He's just going to lead you astray. I think it would just be better for us to just follow the Pharaoh, see if things are going to work out that way. Do you think people would have said that during that time? I think so. I think people would have been that discouraged to say, you know what? Forget about the words of the Lord. Let us focus on what we need to do for Pharaoh. They were conditioned then to think the worst of their circumstances. And obviously, their immediate circumstances were that which really discouraged them. Just being there and knowing that they were in a pitiful state of living alone, that alone would have just broken their spirits. We talked about conditioning for a little bit and how the Israelites would have thought, well, the worst is always upon us. You know, within that thinking and thinking that, you know what, nothing good is ever going to happen, you begin to start lacking something all at the same time. That's trust. You don't begin to trust whatever is being said to you. You know, if you're conditioned to think, nothing is ever going to work out. Nothing is ever going to get better. Are you going to think when someone comes up to you with lighter words and say, hey, things can be different. But if all of your life you've lived as a slave, are those words going to mean anything to you? No, of course not. And so they're discouraged by their circumstances. They're entirely discouraged here. And the reason why they were given taskmasters is given to us. If you're still in Exodus 5, let's read verse 9. Let heavier work be laid on the men, that they may labor at it and pay no regard to lying words. Pharaoh says, I want their condition to be so bad that they think whatever words that Moses has to say to them, they will regard as lies. They're going to think that, no, I don't believe you. What you have to say to me, even if they are the words of the Lord, they don't matter to me. Right now is what's going on. This is hard. I'm still here. I'm under this harsh slavery. My spirit has been broken. There's no way I can listen to you. You're speaking to these people lofty words. It'd be hard for anyone in this situation to listen, to try to listen to God. And so did that conditioning work? They were discouraged, and did it work? Well, yes. They did not listen to Moses because of their broken spirit and harsh slavery. Now, with those thoughts and ideas fresh in your mind, let's move forward in time just a bit. Let's talk about how this applies to us. Because I believe that the same story is being played out countless times in our lives as individuals. What about our broken spirits, our harsh slavery? Who are our taskmasters? Who are our slave owners? Now we understand automatically that this goes two ways. We have spiritual taskmasters, spiritual slave owners, and also physical ones as well. Let's take a look at some of those. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6. We'll read this together. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? Sin is talked about as a slave master. In fact, most of Romans chapter 6 talks about this. So sin is a slave master, that which is not willing to let you go, that which is not willing to make it easy for you. Well, it's there to make it hard for you. It's there to bring guilt to you, to make you remember just how pitiful and terrible you really are. Now, is that a taskmaster over us? Yeah, that can be. Is that a taskmaster over much of the world right now? Yeah. There are many, even us, who may still obey the wiles of sin and therefore become a slave to it. But not only that, we have rulers, authorities, cosmic powers, and spiritual forces. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, I'll read this to you. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Here, what's being talked about is, you know what, the battle is all wrong. Okay, you're not fighting against flesh and blood. No, you're fighting against something you can't see, something you can't feel, something you know pretty much nothing of at this point. He's saying you have all of these rulers, authorities, cosmic powers, spiritual forces, and the evil places that are fighting against you. That's the real battlefield. So these are our taskmasters, if you will. Our taskmasters today. And they are not seeking any good for us at all. But what about our physical taskmasters as well? We have people in authority over us. Sometimes those people in authority can bring us down, can really discourage us, can make us think, you know what, God's words are lies. I have no time for this. I have all this time, though. I have to work every day. Think about some bosses or some managers that some of you may have? Do they sort of act like taskmasters sometimes? People who are just over you and trying to make sure that you pay no attention to anything else but your work? Yeah, we have some people like that. Those are our physical taskmasters. Those are our physical slave owners, if you will. They're not trying to let you go. They're not really trying to make it easy for you. Some of these people may be so engulfed in just trying to raise so much money. No regard for you at all. No regard. So that you will have no regard for what God says. And ourselves. Ourselves and our own desires. Let's turn to James chapter 4. We'll read this. James chapter 4. Read how we can be our own taskmasters. People set over us to destroy us. James chapter 4, first three verses here. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. So we ourselves may be that which is standing over us and keeping us from believing in the Word of God. Keeping us from saying, you know, God is life, not what I'm going through right now, not my current circumstance. And so that's why it's easy for us to be discouraged. Many times. Because right now we have not been fully delivered. We're still here. We love to sing that song, How Long, O Lord? When will you save us? When will you bring us out of here, right? Are we longing for the Lord to come back and to bring us to Him, to His house? Can it be very discouraging to remember that you're still here? Even that thought alone sometimes might discourage us. We're still here. We still have to go through it. We still have to go through so much pain, so much suffering, all these things that life offers. And sometimes we may get so bogged down and caught up in that, that we're then discouraged from the words of God. He says, you don't need to worry about these things. I'm going to take care of you. God, what I'm going through is too tough. It's too hard. What's going on right now, that's what I'm focused on. And so that discourages us. John chapter 14. I'll read this to you. John chapter 14. We still hold on to the promises of God, though. You remember how the promises of Joseph and the promises of the forefathers of the people of Israel really at that time would have, you know, filled them up with hope. It should have kept them alive. 2,000 years ago, our Savior made some promises to us that people are still holding on to, that we ourselves are still holding on to. But we think sometimes, well, these things have not come to pass yet. I'm still suffering. I am discouraged. Listen to what the Lord says. John 14, verse 3 verses. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. We focus on the promises of our Lord. But then we look at our own circumstances right now, our own situations, we're still here. We have not left. And that will cause us to be discouraged. But not only that, in the same way that those around the people of Israel would have discouraged them, do people around us sort of discourage us sometimes? Yeah. Have people fallen away? Have people laughed, mocked the cause of Christ? Does that discourage us sometimes? Yeah. And finally, our immediate circumstances will discourage us as well. Let's turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter, chapter 5. In verse 8 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." I want to ask you, how does a lion eat? Does it say, "Oh, come here, little lamb, just lay down peacefully"? You know, gets out its little butter knife and a fork, and it's just like, "It's okay, I'm going to just take off a little piece here." Is that what happens? Is that what a lion does? No. Of course not. It tears its prey to pieces. It tears it up. What do you think the devil is doing to us spiritually as well? What do you think he's seeking to do to other people? He's seeking to tear them up. Are people's minds being torn today, right now? Yeah. He is out here breaking spirits and enforcing harsher slavery. That's what he's out here doing. Is that going to discourage some people? You better believe it. I like to say to you that the reason for our taskmasters and the reason for Israel's taskmasters are the same. The Pharaoh says to Moses, "I want you to say this to the people." Okay. "Let heavier work be laid upon them." Why? "That they pay no regard to lying words." I want you to look, though, back to Exodus chapter 6. I love what God has to say here to Moses. Exodus chapter 6, starting in verse 2. God spoke to Moses and said to him, listen to what the Lord says here. Listen to the emphasis that he's trying to bring out. God spoke to Moses and said to him, "I am the Lord. I appear to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they lived as sojourners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the people of Israel, whom the Egyptians hold as slaves, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord. How many times is the Lord pointing to himself and saying, it's me. I'm doing this. I'm going to help you. I'm going to be the one to save you. I'm going to be the one to redeem you. He says that multiple times. He says, I am the Lord. If there is any way, any reason to trust in what Moses has to say, it's because of that. He says, I am the Lord. And if we aren't careful, we too will be so discouraged that we'll look at those words and we'll say, these are lying. The lying words. I am still under this harsh slavery. My spirit is still broken. My circumstances causes me to condition myself against the truth and to say, I can pay no regard to this. So we as well must be careful not to do that. Thankfully, though, the story does not end there. The Israelites, their slave owners were defeated, as you know. Our slave owner, sin, the devil, he has been defeated and taken away. The devil is lost, and those of us who have put on Christ have been saved. But there are a few things that we need to remember, lest we forget. First and foremost, for those of us who have put on Christ, we are free in Christ. John chapter 8. Let's turn to John chapter 8. We'll read these verses together. John chapter 8. Starting in verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Many of us who have chosen to put on Christ are free. So there'll be no reason to go back, right? There'll be no reason to anything that should discourage us to go back. And to follow like the Egyptians, if you will. Romans chapter 6. I'll read these couple verses here for you. Romans chapter 6. And in verse 23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And a couple chapters over, Romans chapter 8. And in verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." What is the point that we need to make here? We've been set free. For those of us who have put on Christ, we are free now. Thankfully, the story didn't end there. See, with the Israelites, they could have just remained under the Pharaoh. But would that have been a good story? But even more importantly, God had promises to make, right? Did he make those same promises to us? Did he fulfill them? He did. And because we are free, we then need to remember to be thankful. I think this is the most important thing that we need to remember. We must be thankful. As the Israelites finally set free, okay, they're going with God, and just multiple times, even before they were in the wilderness, multiple times they say to God, the worst thing that I think you could ever say to someone who has done such great things for you, "If only we had died in Egypt." That just cuts to the heart. If only we had died in Egypt. What is that saying to God? I didn't even want you to save me. I'd rather have died there. I enjoyed my life there just a little bit better than what I'm going through now. Walking all over the place and just eating manna. That gets tiring. I'd rather be under slavery. I'd rather be under an evil Pharaoh. Is that a terrible thing to say to God? Yeah. But what's the message for us? That we may test God sorely as well. If we aren't careful, we may take on that attitude. Perhaps we ourselves throw God's sacrifice back in his face by our actions. Simply by what we do, what we think, what we say, says to God, "I wish you had never saved me. I wish I was back there under the slavery of sin. No, I made more money that way. I had a lot more fun that way." It's a terrible thing to say. To a God who has been so patient, so kind, who has not only made such great promises, but he's already fulfilled them. And so we must be careful. Unless we say, "If only I had died in Egypt." And unless we forget that we were once ungodly slaves. Romans chapter 5. You're still there in Romans. That's good. Let's turn a few chapters over to Romans chapter 5. Starting in verse 6. "While we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God in the law of Moses constantly says to the people, when you have sojourners among you, when you have strangers among you, there is something that I need you to remember. You need to treat them the way you wish to be treated. He was implementing the golden rule throughout the entire thing. But he says to his people, you need to remember to treat them well. Why? Because you were once slaves in Egypt. He says that multiple times, trying to give them this message. Hey, you remember how you were treated? You remember how you were a sojourner? Guess what? There are these other people who are sojourning among you. How then are you going to treat them? How then would you want to have been treated? Will you treat them the same way? I think the message still applies to us. There are many who are still lost in this slavery of sin. There are many out here who still have broken spirits. I then ask you, brethren, who are we to leave them there? Who are we to forsake them there? These potential brothers and sisters of ours, who are we to leave them? To say, oh, you know what, just go ahead and die in Egypt. We have to make a conscious effort, a great effort, to make sure that we are going out here and speaking to these people, speaking to them about the gospel. One thing we need to understand is that what the people of Israel went through, it left scars for them, right? You remember that they were conditioned in a certain way to think, you know what, this is not going to work. Anything good you say to me, I believe as lies. I don't know about you, but if you've looked on the internet or anywhere else, that same kind of attitude has been rising up. That's what's been going on here. So we need to remember that these things leave scars on people. We need to recognize that God is calling us to do more than just to be free, but to share that freedom with others so that they may enjoy God as well. Because conditioning leaves scars. In Israel's history, we talked about that. Yeah, it did. More personally, what about in this country's history? Harsh slavery leaves scars. Are those scars still here? Yeah, guarantee they are still here. And those scars pass through generations. I tell you now, they do. What about the things that happened in this very state? Evil, terrible things against other people. Did those leave scars? People need help to see through their circumstances and to rely on the power of God. Because this is our message to them. Matthew chapter 11. Let's read this together. Matthew chapter 11. Carl brought out this point perfectly in his lesson this morning. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Therefore, no matter what our circumstances, we shall trust in God. No matter what. Something else that I love that God says to Moses back in Exodus. In Exodus chapter 3. Listen to what the Lord says. Starting in verse 7. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. The same message applies to us. Have we seen God? Apostles say we have beheld him. We affirm that his testimony is true. We have seen him. Multiple times that we're reading throughout the Gospels, we have, you know, the apostles just being overwhelmed by what God is, by what Jesus is teaching. We have seen Jesus. We have heard Jesus. And we know that he has come down to save us. Hebrews chapter 6. I'll read these verses to you. Hebrews chapter 6. Starting in verse 4. For it is impossible, in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding him up to contempt. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. If we are to forsake that, we need to remember, it's almost impossible to come back to God after that, after leaving, for saying, no, if only I had died in Egypt. We need to remember that. We need to be thankful. We need to remember that we are free in Christ and that we were once ungodly slaves. And God has come down to save us. It's easier for us to look within the circumstances of Israel and say, why didn't they know this? Why didn't they get it? You know, we're back here over here in hindsight and saying, why didn't this happen? And for a lot of us looking into the circumstances of others, we're thinking, well, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do something better? What's going on here? Something we also need to understand is that the people within those situations, they can't see an alternative. It's hard for them to see an alternative. This is their alternative. This is our message to them. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. That's something we must remember. And our final verses for tonight, Galatians chapter 3. I know I've had you flipping all over this evening. Just one more. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. I thank you, brethren, so much for your time this evening.